All right. Good evening, ladies. How are you? We are here for our monthly Q&A call for the Little Black Business Book, and it is Wednesday, March 16th, and I'm happy to be here. And for those of you who are on your first call here, actually someone already sent me a little message and said this is the first time she's attending, so welcome, Patty, and anybody else. Where this is your first Q&A call, and it is pretty simple and straightforward. We just dive right in. We dive right into Q&A, so anything that you are struggling with, anything that you want an opinion on, if you want to brainstorm an idea with me, ask me questions, get a little bit of coaching around something, totally up to you, whatever you need. This hour is yours. We actually don't have too many people on the line today, so those of you that are on are really lucky. Because you have some extra time. As of right now, there's only a few. So that is really awesome for you. So if you have a question or would like to chat with me, *2 will raise your hand, and that will put you in the queue. Or if you are on the webcast, you can put your question also in the box. Okay, I see that I do have some questions in the box, and I have a couple hands raised, so I'm going to jump real quick to the Q&As here, answer those really quickly, and then I'll get to the hands. So Patty says, hi, she's working on her intro video tonight, and it's her first call. Awesome. Marla said, hi. Tandy says, hi, Gen Time. She has a question about ideal client research. Reddit is supposed to be a huge way to collect feedback on ideal clients. I posted 3 questions on Reddit and received 0 response. Is there a trick to this? Are there certain subreddits you are supposed to use? Inquiring minds want to know. Interesting. I don't use Reddit at all when I do my ideal client research. I actually find real people that are my target audience, that are my ideal clients, and I would suggest that you do the same and have a conversation with them. See if you can actually get them on the phone. I find that if you could at least get 3 people who fit into your ideal client profile or your target market and actually have a real-life conversation with them, you get a lot more out of it than just posting random surveys in places, because you actually know that this person fits the mold. You actually know that they are an ideal client. So that's how I would go about that. Also, another really great place for you to do research is Amazon. And I've talked about this a couple times on the Q&A calls, but instead of just, you know, posting questions or posting a survey or something like that, go to the Amazon section that has books related to whatever you do. So if you're, you know, a coach, if you're in business, if you're a designer, whatever it is, there is a book or multiple books that have been written on your area of expertise. And what you want to do there is actually look at the feedback, look at the ratings, and you want to look at the good ratings and see what people are liking and see what people are saying, and then also look at the ratings that aren't so great. Try to find out what's missing, what people didn't like about the book, what people didn't like about, you know, what was said in the book. So I think actually Amazon is better. But like I said, I've never used Reddit, so I can't really speak to that personally. All right. If you have a follow-up question to that, you can go ahead and pop that in the box. Suzanne says, what are the 3 key things you did to hustle to get more clients at the beginning? Was it just creating loads of content and people were attracted to you? Content definitely was number one. And, you know, it's not just content. And I just want to stress that. It's strategic content and it's really, really good content, because that's what made people, you know, you can attract someone with maybe, you know, a pretty PDF or something exciting that sounds really good, but if they get inside and the content is crap, then they're not going to, you know, want to stay on your list. They're not going to want to keep following you. So really great content, absolutely. Also, if you watch the 100K in 90-day webinar that is in the Little Black Business Book, I talked about how I actually give away free sessions as well. So I did a ton of free sessions, and I know a lot of people say that you shouldn't work for free and you shouldn't do free sessions, but the reality is if you are not booked with clients, you need to be coaching people, whether that is free or low cost. So I did a lot of that. I probably did over 100 free sessions, and they weren't, you know, I wasn't giving people full coaching packages. I actually was just doing 20-minute sessions, 30-minute sessions. So people were getting to experience me. They would talk about me. They would get breakthroughs within that 30 minutes. And, you know, that really helped ramp up my credibility and visibility as well. So free sessions, great content. And the third thing I would say is running challenges, which kind of goes a little bit in line with the content, but this actually would help people get really engaged with you. I'm sure if you've taken any of my challenges, you know, even like the video challenge that we just did, you see how engaged people really are, and they really just, there's really a connection that happens when a lot of people are working towards the same thing. So those would be my three things for you: is run free challenges, create amazing content, and do free sessions. And you don't have to kill yourself with the free sessions. You don't have to do 100 of them, but, you know, if you're not getting the amount of clients yet, you know, giving people a little bit of a taste what it's like to work with you never hurts. And also read the book, The Prosperous Coach. They talk about that a lot. Alrighty, so I'm going to go to the calls. I have someone in Waterdown, Ontario. Hello.
Hey, it's Lee Fowler.
Hi, Lee. How are you?
How are you?
You're on time.
I was a day early, yes.
But
so happy to be here. That's great.
Awesome.
So I wanted to just, you know, let you know what a great inspiration you've been for me. And I do have a question around free sessions. And I, as a content marketing strategist in publishing and marketing, but just in my fourth year of business, I've booked 30 complimentary strategy sessions, and then they're kind of happening now. And so I have four questions about strategy calls, but the main one is that I get so excited, like, helping people through, like, a content problem or, you know, trying to optimize what they're doing, and I go over the 30 minutes, and it's not just, like, one or two times. It's almost, like, every time, and I feel like it's like a mental issue, not like a good one. You know what I mean? Like when you're giving and giving and giving, but not, you know, I just was curious about any strategies to keep the calls within their time limit,
yeah.
You know, and the other questions were really around just pre-qualifying people before they get on the call and just setting up the call for success. I often send a needs assessment just to get a sense of, like, what their goals are and then, you know, what they're looking for during the call so I can really give them customized feedback during the 20 minutes. And I have kind of, like, a tech background, so I'm often giving them, like, you know, technical expertise and stuff and, like, to just enhance the overall deliverable of what they're doing. But, yeah, so the main problem is that I'm going over.
So, you know, this is a great time for you to set boundaries with yourself and for them, too. I think that they will really respect the fact that you're setting the boundaries and see you more as a leader, right? If you are on the phone with someone and you end up, you know, it's supposed to be a 30-minute call and you end up, you know, on the phone for an hour and give them everything, they're just going to think that they can take advantage of you or, you know, I got everything I needed from Lee. Why do I need to hire her? You know, so really set those boundaries. And an easy way to do that is when you're doing these strategy sessions, make it clear that you are going to help them solve one problem.
Okay,
just
great.
One.
Yep.
So even if they have, you know, three or four things, just let them know, you know, because, you know, time is limited, we only have a little bit of time, I want to make sure that you really get clear on this one thing. And you can even ask them that in the pre-questionnaire is asking them, you know, what's the one thing that you want to achieve on this call? And so that way, you know, if you want to give a little bit more, you can, but you're not obligated. Actually, you know what? I take that back because you probably will want to give more. But, yeah, just set it to the one thing, you know, just do that and just say, you know, the time is limited. I really overgive. I'm going to help you with technical stuff and also strategy. So we can only, you know, do this, you know, one thing. We can solve one thing.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
And what happens on those calls? So do they end up, like, do you just help them and then it's like, great, thanks, goodbye? Or
no.
Do you end up, like, pitching them? Do they become clients? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's been a while since I've been doing them, like, regularly, so I'm kind of getting back into the swing. But it's usually a great conversation. So at the end, they've been asking, like, send me ways I can work with you, and I usually position myself as their, like, go-to, you know, their person in the back pocket where when they need to make marketing decisions and, you know, setting up, like, the foundational stuff, like just systems and their overall messaging and stuff, they do at the end of the call ask for, like, a proposal. And so I just kind of walk them through. Yeah, which is great so far. So we'll see. I've just been redesigning my offerings and, you know, shifting my whole brand. But I think I was potentially attracting, you know, just clients that weren't a good fit for me. So I'm just trying to, you know, pre-qualify a little bit and figure out, like you said, boundaries. Like I wasn't really good with boundaries and kind of scares you sometimes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just a quick question about pre-qualifying. Like I've seen many people do forms where, you know, they ask, like, how much money do you make and how committed are you to change and things like that. Is that like, are there strategic, you know, with a complimentary strategy session, I like to go in and just, like, you know, I'm going to help everyone and, you know, if it's a good vibe, great, I'll put an offer out. If not, you know, I'll just give them some great resources. But the pre-qualifying thing seems like a great step to have in place to make sure you get closer to having the right people on the call, but I don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to waste your time with the wrong people. You know, you don't want to waste your time with the freebie seekers. And also, you know, just because somebody maybe says, you know, I'm making no money, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not able to invest still. So it doesn't automatically disqualify them. But it's still, I think, really good to know, especially if you're offering a service that maybe is like a couple $1,000s a month where somebody's going to have like a long-term investment with you. I think it's good to know where they're at. For me, I use this question as a gauge for just sanity, for lack of a better word. I'll have some people that, you know, I'll ask, you know, how much have you made in your business? And they say zero. And then I'll say, how much do you want to make over the next 6 months? And they'll say 100,000. And I just am just like, okay, well, whatever. That person's like a little nuts, you know, because, you know, I'm just trying to gauge, like, where their head is at. You know, I want to make sure that the person is the right fit, that they understand the investment involved time-wise, money-wise. So, yeah, I think having a really good pre-survey will only help you.
Great. Yeah, good stuff. Well, thank you, and thanks for great challenges and awesome
that was
little
fun.
Yeah, it was, right? Definitely was challenging, but, you know, it gets you going, so thank you.
Cool. You're welcome. All right. Oh, and speaking of the challenge, I do have a couple winners. The only reason why I haven't announced them yet is because I don't know what the prize is going to be yet. So hopefully I'll be announcing that sometime, maybe tonight, but hopefully by tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. And I'm going to a cell phone in Illinois. Hello.
Hey, it's Lillian.
Oh, hi, Lillian. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yay, cool. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really excited to be on the call today, and I'm really grateful that I stumbled upon your stuff. I'm like a huge fan already.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so my question is, I actually have been doing makeup for many, many years, and I know that I'm looking to transition into scaling my business. And I know that I've tried a couple different things over the years, but the niches that I've connected with and that I've built just felt off. So I'm like, okay, took a break, and now I just recently relaunched. And I feel really passionate and good about, like, the direction I'm going in. And I've been able to connect with some pretty amazing collaborative partners, like, for my upcoming features. But I just feel like I need some support in structuring the outline. I've looked at different JV templates and different ways to kind of make sure that the partnership is mutually benefiting and satisfying. But because I've never stepped in this territory and I've never scaled in this way, I'm trying to figure out, like, are there specific, I know that there is, but I'm just trying to figure out how to navigate that. Do you have any input on that?
Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with these partners. What is the vision?
Yeah. So I have the first one, so this is, I'm referring to BossCloth, which is a new way to kind of feature bosses, and it's kind of a different angle than just like your regular telesummons or just features. So I'm basically picking a handful of bosses that I want to feature, and this I launched one already, and that went really well, and she's local. The next person I'm launching is coming up in April, and she has a program, and it completely aligns with her program. And I don't want to share too much, and not that I don't trust you or your folks that are on call. It's just I haven't. It's just a little premature for me to share publicly. If you're cool with that.
No. I'm cool with that. I'm just trying to, understand a little bit more, so I can.
Of course. So, like, can I use you as an example, just for the sake of the example? Okay. So let's just say I want to feature you because you're an amazing boss and you've built a great empire. I would basically choose a gloss that's incongruent with, like, your everyday lifestyle look. Of course, you can wear different shades, blah, 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 but I would just choose one that I would, like, kind of honor you with, and I would create this gloss in your honor. And I would interview you and pick a very specific topic, like, how do you run an online business, or whatever theme, and then I would have other individuals featured that could speak about the content, but it's not – but they're not going to be featured in terms of getting their own gloss. They'll just kind of be supporting the value of the conversation from the theme.
Okay.
And then that's their product. It's kind of like how everybody wants to write a book, which is great, right? Because it's physical, it's collateral, and it's the same concept, but it's a gloss. And everybody loves gloss. Well, at least if the gloss is great and it works, people love it. So, mind you, so like that's kind of where I'm at. And it's a great concept. It's really just repositioning. I'm just, I'm passionate about it. And the feedback I've gotten just from my beta has been really exciting. So I feel like it feels in alignment. But I just want to make sure that I get the guidance and support from someone that knows how to do this, because the last thing I want to do is just try to do stuff, blindly. I don't want to just figure it out as I go. I've done that before, and it's not wise.
Now, how do you see yourself scaling your business like this? Like, it seems to me like it's still a lot of work. And when I think of scaling, I think of, like, taking yourself out of it and having the business run on its own.
Sure. More automatic and residual.
Yeah.
So in the past, we had different programs. So my partner is a designer. He does a lot of the technical support, and he builds different programs. So, like, I have a lot of the resources here. I kind of feel bad that I've been holding myself back for so long, just because that's another issue, right? Another story. Yeah. But I definitely have everything I need to pull the trigger for when I'm ready. But I needed to get in alignment, and I needed to be in a place where it felt right. So there are a lot of things that I could offer. Like, there's technical support. There's – and not me personally, but there's the different programs that we have offered before. But it was just for a market that felt like complete – they felt like a drain. And I was like, I'm not dealing with this. And it was just – I felt good about that. So anything from – I mean, in terms of content and programs, I'm going to align it specifically. So I'll basically be offering online programs. But to be honest with you, I'm not just trying to do it just to make money. I'm not 100% sure, but I do know that, like, when it feels good, I can easily pull the trigger. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I have stuff. I'm not really sure. But right now, the next person I'm featuring, she's a weight loss coach, and she actually has a strong online audience. She does a lot of things, and I'm going to be featuring her a very specific lip gloss that is in alignment with this program that she's creating a lot of press and buzz around, and it's just going to be another collateral, but she's going to speak on my platform because I'm featuring her, and then we get to capitalize on the traffic and all that fun stuff.
Got it. I see. I like that. I mean, I like the idea. I mean, when you were explaining it kind of like a telesummit, like I can wrap my head around that. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and everybody gets invited to telesummits, but it's like, what's unique about your telesummit? Why and should I join yours? Or what? You know, it really comes to feeling good about the position. And I am an expert in color, and I am an expert. Like, I can look at someone and quickly pick something. And then I'm actually, you know, this next feature that I'm doing, I'm either going to meet her in her town or she's going to come here to Chicago, and we're going to put a photo shoot together, and I'm going to do her whole look. And she doesn't even need one because she has all that. She gets branding. She's definitely, I would call her an A-list coach. You like that? Like, she's established. but she'll value that. And those are the clients that I work with in real life, right? When I say in real life, meaning not offline, like, or not just online. People create this different persona online. So I was like craving working with people that are who they are, both online and offline. And you can tell if you dig a little bit.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and then what to offer them? Honestly, I'm not 100% sure what the next step is, but I do know that this is my genius zone. Like, but there's a lot of different things. In fact, I might just be an affiliate. I might just sell other people's stuff. I don't even know if I want to deal with that stuff. I mean, because I did that last time and it just wasn't my genius zone. And I'm like, just stick to what you're good at.
Yeah, I always tell my clients, like, you know, if it feels good, do it. If it doesn't,
yeah,
because that's, you know, any success in business, whatever business you choose, you know, or whatever model you decide to go with, you've got to feel it. Like, you've got to be in alignment with it. It's got to feel good. So I think, you know, run this a couple, you know, with a few more people, see how it goes, see, you know, how that works and how you can really, you know, profit from it. And I also think, you know, affiliate marketing and stuff is really, really great as well. We're actually going to have a class on that next week or next month in the Little Black Business Book. And I think it's a great way to, like, leverage your income and also just fill in the gaps.
Yeah. Cool. So I guess so that's cool that you're going to have some more structure on that. And I've read some things, and I have, like, the technical piece. Like, I have the different affiliate link tracking systems. Like, I have all that stuff. So I feel great about that. But I'm more interested in, like, kind of, like, structuring that, because one of the affiliates, in fact, she was – let me just rephrase this, because I'm kind of working with different industries. So, like, the coaching world gets affiliates. That's easy, right? The conversation makes sense to them. But I was working with another gal who's more in television and broadcast. It's a whole different animal. And she was more excited about the feature, but more trying to be exclusive. And I'm like, no, unless you want to buy this, which we can just have that conversation, you're not – this product isn't exclusive to you. But that's how she – so, and I had all that written out in the contract that it wasn't hers, but I felt like she got territorial. Now, I'm not going to name another gloss after another person, and I only had 7 of them, so I'm not trying to, you know, oversaturate the market with them. So I have to be very strategic in who I align one gloss to, because it is just one per person. So, but she didn't like the idea that there would be another feature. I'm like, you can buy it if you want. So,
yeah, I mean, I would say run that again and see, you know, like, check back in with us and let me know how that works.
I will. Yeah. I will. Thank you for your thoughts.
You're welcome. Alrighty, I have 2 more hands up. I'll get to those in a second. I do have some questions in the Q&A. So Ariane says it's her first call too. Awesome. Mariana says, are there any people you'd really recommend for coaching training? Yes, there are 2 people. Sarah Little, who actually did a training for us a couple months back, that should be in the master classes, and it's LIDDLE, Sarah Little. She runs Coach School. And then also Celia Ward Wallace, she's opening up a coach training soon, within a couple months, I believe. She was one of my mastermind partners, and she actually was the West Coast coach for CCF, Certified Coaches Federation, which is actually where I got certified, and she was certifying all the coaches on the West Coast, so she's really, really awesome as well. Patty says, let's see, they knew what I call business and empowerment coach, taking implementation, business management, and coaching into all into one. This business is called The Bitch Means Business. I love it. And how do you suggest positioning yourself as unique? I like the core values of boxing, MMA, UFC, being in business. Both require the same training, showing up and being committed. I love that. I think that, you know, the name itself lends to, you know, the athletes and the boxing and the UFC. So I wonder if you could just, like, brand yourself, like, with some photo shoots around that. But, you know, as far as, like, positioning yourself as unique, I actually talked about this on another call yesterday. Everybody thinks that they have to be so unique in order to stand out, but the reality is you only have to be, like, 1% different. And, you know, be you. So bring that out. If you love that stuff in your personal life, bring that into your business. Because people essentially are buying you. They're not buying your brand. They're not buying business coaching or anything like that. There's plenty of other business coaches. The thing that's really going to distinguish is you, your personality, and the way that you do things, like your strategy, your specific strategy. And Patty says, how do you leverage yourself with a small list, no list, or limited following? When I shifted my business, none of my past group was who I wanted to work with or continue with. I do have a few paying clients now. Okay, so similar to what I was telling, who was it, Suzanne earlier, creating just really amazing content and putting it out there. People will flock to content. I think challenges are also a great way. These are the three things that I told Suzanne about doing it in the beginning. Since you have already paying clients, I probably wouldn't suggest doing the free sessions. And these are not the strategy sessions or the discovery calls. I just mean just straight free sessions. I probably wouldn't do that since you're already getting paying clients, which is really, really great. And another thing you can do is really leverage actually what we're going to be talking about next month, which is the affiliate marketing and creating relationships with other people. And instead of selling someone else's stuff, actually have somebody else that you have created a relationship with, another coach, a peer, a friend, that can help you and maybe share your free gift or your opt-in or your challenge or your webinar with their list and their audience. So really leveraging other people's audiences. Another way you can do that is through guest posting, guest post and podcast interviews. So people that already have an audience, and you just go in and you share your information and your content with their audience. All right, let's see what else we have here. Sylvia says, when you're doing a challenge to grow your list, should you have a prize at the end of the challenge? Also, in terms of content in an opt-in, white paper, webinar, how much content is too much that you're giving away for free, or should you save for your paid program? Okay, so totally up to you if you want to give a prize. I think some people do it. You know, for most of my challenges, I didn't. In the beginning, I didn't do that at all. But back when I was starting to do challenges 2 years ago, there wasn't that many challenges, so people were just excited to participate. Now that there are so many challenges, and there's probably a couple different challenges going on in a given week, you do want to give people an incentive to complete all the days or to, you know, make sure that they're engaged. So totally you can. It's up to you what it wants to be, but it's definitely not necessary. All right, so in terms of content, how much is too free? And I've said this a million times. I don't think anything is too much to give away for free. Now, you want to think about, like, your strategies. Like, for example, I have a program right now called Upscale that is a specific framework and strategy that I use to help my clients basically get fully booked and have an influx of clients all the time in their business. So I wouldn't give that away because that's proprietary. That's something that, you know, I have come up with and that I have been working through with multiple clients so that I know that it works. So if it's anything like that, like it's like your specific special sauce, I guess you can say, I probably wouldn't give that away. But if you're just talking content, I mean, I'm sure you've seen my 26 ways to be more visible, which is like loaded with content. Also, my challenge is loaded with content. It just makes people like you more. It makes people trust you more. It gives people that feeling that you, A, know what you're talking about, and that you just have so much to give. So I don't think there's ever too much to give away for free. You just want to make sure that, you know, you're going to distinguish between that. So if you do have a paid program, obviously you're not going to pull all the pieces of your paid program and give it away. But, yeah, so make sure that we get lots of good stuff. Alrighty, and going back to the lines, I have a cell phone in Lansdale. PA, hello?
Hi.
Hi,
this is Tiffany. This is Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Jen. I am a website designer, and I provide a lot of consulting, and I also find myself providing even copywriting and sales funnel strategy, all kinds of things to my clients. So I'm more than just a website designer. And I'm really, really busy right now with clients. And I actually just signed on another client today, and I'm starting to feel really overwhelmed. And I just want to kind of shut everything off until I get caught up. And I have this thing where when I'm working with clients, I feel like everything is really urgent. Like, it has to be done as soon as possible. And I don't want to feel like that. Like, I want to feel like, I want to find that balance where I'm working with clients, but I'm not, like I don't feel like I have to work all day long. And I still want to have time to work on my own business. And my dream, I would like to have a website prep course to eventually launch. So I'm considering raising my prices, but then I don't want to be like that girl who's completely like out of reach. Like, I don't want to have like really high prices because I want to be accessible, and I really enjoy helping people who appreciate the work that I do. So it all boils down to, I'm really confused about my next steps. Do I raise my prices? Do I need a coach? And if I do need a coach, how do I find a coach who can help me with this? Because I've had a couple of coaches before, and they didn't help me with this. Like, I didn't feel like they were okay, but they didn't really help me with the main issues that I had. And on the other hand, I feel like this is maybe like a business strategy 101, and it's up to me to be figuring this out and testing these things. So that's my situation, and I would love to know what you think.
Yeah, so anytime you feel like you are overwhelmed or overbooked, it's definitely an indication that you need to raise your prices, because you also have to take care of yourself. You know, the more that you're taking care of yourself, the better results your clients are going to get, the more that they're going to get from you. So as far as being not accessible, I get that. But at the same time, like, you have to protect yourself and your sanity and your reputation, right? If you start taking on too many clients, then, you know, you might start slacking in certain areas, or you might not deliver on time and things like that. Do you have anybody that is helping you? You have a team?
No.
Okay. That's what I would do instead of hiring a coach. I would hire a team. Project manager, maybe an OBM to kind of keep you on track to do more of, like, the administrative stuff, the client care stuff. Maybe even consider, I mean, if you're getting that busy, maybe consider having, like, your higher-end web design packages where you're hands-on and you're doing everything. But then if you have smaller projects like PDFs or ebooks or things like that, you actually have a designer on staff that can put those things together for you.
Okay.
Yeah, but I definitely would go. I mean, it seems like your business is growing really fast, and I think the next step is hiring team, getting somebody to help you and support you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess I've considered that, and I feel like I need to do everything myself. So,
I feel like a lot of designers do. So, like I was saying, like, I don't know, like, what your other services are, like, if you offer things like PDFs and headers and things like that. So maybe it's where you can actually, you know, whenever it's something design-related, it's you because that's what people want. But then as far as, like, putting the things together or even, like, maybe hiring a developer, so once you design the site, like, you pass it off to them and they put it together. But if, you know, if you don't want to hire, like, a team member like that yet, then definitely a VA or an OBM, somebody that can take away those kind of just a little admin tasks, you know, emailing clients, things like that.
That sounds really great. Yeah, you know, I didn't think about an OBM, so they would be able to handle my, like, client relations sometimes.
Yeah, my OBM helps me with pretty much everything. So, like, she, like, for the most part, deals with my emails. If it's something for, you know, that I need to answer personally, then, you know, I obviously do that. But, you know, if I just am getting, like, random requests or, you know, things like that, she takes care of that for me. She takes care of, you know, everything that has to do with the membership site, so all of my client care. So if you lost your password or you need to change your billing or, you know, an invoice needs to be sent out, she does all of that for me. And also just keeps me on track, you know, like, Jen, you should be doing this, or Jen, we need a lead page for this, or, you know, just making sure that everything is on track, and I think that that will really, really help you.
Okay. All right. That sounds really great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. I'm going to Allie. Hi.
Hey, Jen. It's Allie from Hawaii.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was the one doing all those funny videos that you were
talking
about with the faces. Yeah. Yeah, that was me. Hi, guys. So my question's a little – I wanted to make sure I wrote it out because it's a little bit – I wanted to frame it right so I don't take up too much time trying to explain it. But so I started my business back in, like, maybe July, and I've been really interested in the whole membership thing because I'm all about reaching as many people as possible. And I've also built my business through Periscope. So a lot of people that are there, they just want something. They want something that's low priced. And, you know, I was like, oh, man, I can send all my people there. But also I'm learning how to create these, you know, bigger packages and, like, more like a virtual program and retreat slash kind of thing. And so I'm sort of in this in-between stage where it's like I want to spend time working on both, but I'm sort of like, do I focus on the lower priced offering and just creating some of the content for that first and trying to just send people over there so then eventually I could upsell to what I'm working on creating and putting out there in these higher paying offerings? Because, you know, I mean, for me, just in Hawaii, I have a little bit of a local clientele, but it's mostly online, and I'm, you know, it's just a little bit harder when I have a smaller list and I'm sort of new, even though I just created a virtual summit and I'm, you know, I'm definitely working on it, but it's not necessarily like, oh, I'll fill a, you know, a program with 10 people that I'm charging $1,000 for, because it just feels like the people on my list from Periscope are a little bit more, but, you know, that's also me judging. So I guess I'm looking for a little advice around, you know, if I spend more time on this lower price offering, I don't want to necessarily be, you know, ignoring this, these other bigger offering ideas too. And just sort of like how to manage that energy while I'm just starting out and what might be some good advice for that.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to have, all different kinds of options for your people, you know, so you could have the membership site. I'm guessing right now, like, what you're doing is just like one-on-one, like a regular one-on-one coaching?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I would do all three.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, which one to put your time into, I feel like even the retreat is something, or, you know, whatever the higher-end coaching package is going to be, I think that's something you can kind of put together, put on your site,
mm-hmm.
And then go work on the other thing. Like, I don't know, like, what
mm-hmm.
is involved with that, if you're going to need to, like, create content for it or whatever. But I,
mm-hmm.
you know, that initial offer, that's going to be your way to get people in the door, just like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier mm-hmm. to get a client, you know, in the door with a lower cost offering and then upsell them or have them become, you know, a client again than it is to acquire
mm-hmm.
a brand new client. So if you only have, you know, packages that are thousands of dollars, it is going to be hard, at least in the beginning, until you really, like, build up that
right.
new, like, trust factor. You know, it's going to take a little while. It's going to take a few months to, like, for people to trust you and want to do that. So I think the lower cost offering is that you should be putting your energy into, because that is what's going to get people in the door. They're going to get a little bit of a taste of what it's like to work with you and your quirkiness and your silliness, and they'll love you. And then, like, oh, I also have this other thing, you know. So, yeah,
right.
I definitely would be on that lower one, because that's something also, like, once you have that done, that's something you could totally automate. And then you can just be constantly bringing new people into your business, and then, you know, then you can start to work on, okay, so, you know, if these people are in this membership, now how am I going to get them to, you know, take other action or, you know, buy other things from me? So I think it's a good idea.
Awesome. Sweet. Thank you. That's awesome. That answered my question.
Awesome.
Hey, have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, I have one more call. This is in Phoenix, Arizona. Cell phone, hello.
Hi, Jen, this is Annette. Jen, I have a question for you that goes back to what you were saying earlier in the call about offering free sessions to kind of build your practice and get visibility and show people what you can do. And it also kind of goes with your challenge, the piece that you were talking about in terms of how challenges are so prevalent now. What's the best way to go about offering a free session to someone? Because it feels like everyone does free sessions. And I've noticed in just different groups that I belong to, whether it's like in-person groups or online groups, people are always doing free sessions. So what's a good way to do that so it really does showcase what I can do and lets that other person know that they're really going to get some real benefit from taking the time to do that? Because that's an investment on their part, too.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And just because something is free doesn't mean people want it. Or that they're going to, you know, take you up on the offer. So the best way to do this is to actually name your offer. So if you have a free session, like, call it something. You know, it's like the Ignite session, and you're going to learn A, B, and C, or you'll walk away with X, Y, and Z. So I would always give it a name, and then give the bullet points. So they know exactly what they're getting. Another way that you can frame it is as an assessment. So maybe, you know, what do you do?
I do a lot of work. My primary area that I like to work in is around mindset. So if someone is feeling stuck in a particular area, I can do a coaching call with them in like 20 to 30 minutes and find out the root of the block and help them move through it.
Cool. So I, you know, you can call it like a block busting session or an unstuck session. Walk away with, you know, A, B, and C. Yeah, I think that would be really cool. And it's more enticing than, hey, I have 30-minute free sessions.
Right. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So, yeah, give it a name, give it a fancy name. Not fancy, but, you know, give it like a snazzy three bullet points, put it out there. Also, another thing you want to do, too, is, and you don't want to lie, but, you know, like, make it limited. So let people know, you know, I only have five sessions or I only have three spots open this week. So that way there's a little bit of urgency there, too. You don't want people to see you, like, always giving free sessions, because then they're going to say, well, why is she always giving free sessions, or she must be desperate or whatever. So even when I did mine, like, even though I did, like, 100 of them, I actually did say that there was a limit, you know, for that week, or I could only take, you know, this many people. So just put a little bit of urgency in there, too.
So did you do something like I have, like, three openings this week for free sessions, and I'm trying to figure out, like, how you got to 100 and in what time frame without it sounding like
it was probably
all you do is work for free.
Yeah, it was over, like, 2 or 3 months, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, most of them came from – what I did was I actually did, it wasn't really a challenge, but it was basically every day for 16 days I was giving some sort of tip, and I encouraged people to give me their opinions underneath the photo that I posted, and every day I said, whoever, you know, every day I'm going to pick one person who participated, and they're going to get a free session with me. So it encouraged people to participate. I knew that I was choosing somebody who really wanted what I had.
Yes.
So that's the way I did it. So I always kind of wrapped it around something else. You know, it wasn't ever like, I'm just doing a bunch of free sessions. I always wrapped it around something, a challenge or, you know, some kind of urgency. I remember one time I had, you know, I thought I was going to have my son, and then, you know, my mom took him for the day. So I put something on Facebook, and I just said, hey, guess what? I just found out I have a free day tomorrow because I have a babysitter. So I have 8, you know, spots open tomorrow to get on the phone with me. So it was always wrapped around something else, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I'm going to the chat box really quick. All right, Carrie says, I'd love your thoughts on how I can step away from dollar for hours and being hands-on with my clients. I do a form of energetic body work, and I don't know how I can automate in a way I see folks doing online when my work is really about me being physically being present. Interesting, yeah, because I think especially in the type of work that you do, people want you. It's like what I was telling the other woman earlier. It's people aren't buying, like, the product or the service. They're actually buying you. So that's a tough one. I mean, I'm wondering if there's just a way that, you know, I can't see that it could be automated, you know, from just the what you're telling me that you do. I could be wrong, but I think that what you would need to do is possibly have some sort of, like, smaller group programs or maybe some sort of membership or doing, like, retreats or in-person meetings where you can actually serve more people in one time. So maybe, you know, you have a group of 10 people and you can heal 10 people at one time instead of doing 10 hours with each person. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about what you do and also if there are any other services. So if this one particular service is about you being physically present, then obviously we can't automate that. But I'm wondering if there is something else in your business that you can take and create some sort of passive income with that. All right, Patty says, in giving away content, I've been told that I overwhelm them with great content, that I scare people away. That is true. Sometimes, you know, when you're giving too much content and it's just not really in a strategic way, people can get overwhelmed. And as far as, you know, giving away content, it's not about giving them so much that they can't handle. It's about giving them really great content. So I would rather you strip everything away, strip all the fluff away, and give them the really, really good stuff so that they can actually digest it, they can apply it, and they can actually get a result from it. All right. Carrie says, I asked in the group once about how to go about creating amazing packages. You suggested including something that folks could say no to. How do I figure out what that would be? Usually that would just be like positioning something like just so outrageous. So let's say you have a package that is, you know, you have like a $1,000 package. That's like your 3 month or that's like your main thing. And then you have, you know, maybe a 6 month program that's $5,000 or $4,000. You want to make that one thing that they could say no to be like, let's say, a single session for $500. So that doesn't make sense. Why would I pay a single session for $500 if you're offering me 3 months of coaching for $1,000? So it's really just in the way that you're positioning the price and what it is. So that thing that they would say no to is just like why, you know, why would I even choose that? So it could just be something so simple like that. You don't have to go overcomplicated with that. All right, I'm going to a cell phone in California. I don't know how to say this. Van Hughes, hello?
Hi, Van, this is Naomi, and I'm actually from Hawaii.
Who is it?
My own phone number. I want to thank you so much for your challenge because that really, really helped me.
Oh, you're welcome. Who's this? I didn't catch.
Yeah, I did your video challenge, and then I transformed it into my own way of doing my video challenge, too. So,
oh, cool. Very cool.
So my question, actually, because I like how everybody's actually answering parts of my question, because it's the same problems that I'm having. My question is more about how did you bring together, like, your courses and your, you know, the whole membership site part of it? Because I have all my content, I just put up my membership site, finally, and then I made my home study course so then I can be more available to my group and everything like that. So I'm having trouble with figuring how to set up the whole part, like how you made for LBB. I want to make something like that, but I'm not sure how to set it up.
This would be a question for Courtney, who's my OBM, because she's on everything. But we use what we used in the beginning. What you guys are seeing right now in the Little Black Business Book is Optimized Press, and it is just basically a plugin for WordPress, and we created, like, all of the back-end stuff with templates. So there's templates, and we just had to, like, upload the content, upload, you know, the images and things like that. But there's a lot of integration stuff that I have no idea about that Courtney does. So, like, when somebody signs up, you know, they automatically get their login. If somebody doesn't pay or somebody, you know, cancels their account, you know, what to do with them then. There's just so much to think about. Did you watch the masterclass that I did on membership sites?
No. Did you
have, oh, yeah. So that's, yeah, it's in LBB. Go in there. It was the last masterclass that I did. So it's called Continuity Rocks. There's lots and lots of great information on there. And also, one that we're actually switching to, which you guys will see very shortly, is called Access Ally. I believe it's called Access Ally. It's by Natalie Lussier. And that we're able to kind of build out the back end of the membership site now. So we're working on that switch over now, but there's literally tons of options. There's even options where maybe you don't host it on your own site, but there is an external site that you host it on. There's one like teachable.com, Ruzuku. So you've got to, and they're all preference. You know, they all have good things, they all have bad things, but what we used was Optimized Press and Wishlist Member. And I believe that there is a woman in the group, Brenda, who is helping people develop and design membership sites, so you might want to reach out to her.
Okay. Yeah, I'm using the new Kajabi, so I can put everything all in there. Don't know how to.
Yeah, and if you want to just start, if you just want to start simple, like literally just have a page on your website that's password protected. That's the easiest way to do it. You know, you just have to be careful with people sharing the login and things like that, but people can do that no matter what. So that's just a nice, simple, easy way to do it.
Thank you. I know it was just a technical question. but I get what you're sharing because, thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Anybody else? Star 2. I'm also going to check the chat. If there's anybody else, we have a few more minutes for anybody. Star 2. Right, I guess you guys are good to go. All right, so definitely be on the lookout. Hold on. We got somebody. Hello.
Hi, Jen. This is Maria. I had a question for you. Like, I was going through your webinar that you had done before, like for the first quarter, and you had all the different programs and stuff. Did you do sales pages for all of those, like in full launches for those programs, or did you just promote it sort of within your group and emails?
For the most part, I just emailed it out.
Okay.
If I did like a quote-unquote sales page. It was super simple. Like, I just added a page to my WordPress and put all the details on it, and that was it. So there was no fancy sales page. There was no, like, big buttons. Like, it was just super simple. Here are the details. Sign up. And what I did for a lot of them, because I was only taking a few people, was I personally reached out to people and I said, hey, I have this thing I think you'll be interested in. And then when they said they were interested, I just would send them to that page so they could check out the details. But I kept it very simple.
Okay. And then did you give them the content like through membership, or did you just keep it simple in the sense of like emailing them the content and then the calls?
Ooh, what did we do with that? Most of them were calls. Most of them were calls, and one of them I did have PDFs, and I just emailed it to them.
Oh, so just really keep it simple.
Yeah, I kept it super simple in the beginning. Yeah, and that's
okay.
For everybody. Like, keep it super simple. You know, now it's more complicated. Now we have the membership site and all that stuff, but it definitely didn't start out that way.
Okay, awesome. Thank
you. Another thing you can do, too, I've seen other people do, is if you're going to have a Facebook group for the group, you can just upload stuff right in the group, and it'll be in the files of the group.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All righty. Star 2, anybody else? Marla says, thanks, Jen. Very helpful. Cool. Well, yes, lots of stuff coming, guys, with your membership site, the back end. Going to actually have a new contest coming up as well, so make sure that you're active in the group and you're paying attention to your emails and all that good stuff, because we have some really great stuff coming. And thank you all for being here today and asking really awesome questions. And for those of you that are listening on the recording or you didn't get to ask your question today, we do have the office hours on Mondays as well. So you can always post your questions in that thread. So that's it. I'll see you guys later on, and have a great, great night. I'll talk to you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.